Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hear this, right now.
Welcome.
Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
What is going on up here?
I never know, man.
Unbiased.
Shut your mouth.
Uncompromised sports talk without the sugarcoating.
I hope you're happy. You wasted everyone's life for 30 seconds.
Isaac Rupp and Jason Sakanik.
Now shut up and let me do my job.
The best in sports coverage.
This is going to be great.
This is Primetime with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Okay, welcome back to our show. It's hour number two. Okay, so here are the playoff matchups as they currently stand. Although this could change because they're playing eight game. Everybody's playing eight games when they come back. But right meow, it would be this in the East. Talking about the NBA. Milwaukee, Orlando, 1-8. Toronto, Brooklyn, 2-7. Boston, Philly. 3-6.
Yeah. Philly's one of those weird teams because so much was expected at the start of the year, and then they never could quite get it together, and then they had injuries. But that's a squad that if they came back and are finally healthy, you know, Simmons and Embiid have both battled injuries. Yeah, that was a team that, you know, people forget. That was a freak. Well, it's not a freak. Kawhi Leonard hit a fall-away dagger miracle shot. Otherwise, we may be talking about the world champion Philadelphia 76ers.
And then you have Miami, Indiana, which would be a good series, 4-5.
Yeah. Miami, a fun story this year.
Miami, yeah, they'd be the four seed. In the West, you would have Lakers, Grizzlies, 1-8. 2-7 would be Clippers, Mavericks. Although you have to think the Mavericks have their eye on those last eight games being pretty important because they're only a game and a half away from the five seed.
Yeah. And by the way, there's already you're getting people that are like, hey, you know, this is the team to look out for. And Dallas is one of those teams that I don't think an upper seed necessarily wants to see.
A healthy Dallas
has got something cooking.
So right now though, it would be Clippers, Mavericks. Yeah. 3-6 would be Denver, Houston, with Denver being the 3, and then the 4-5 right now would be Utah, Oklahoma City. So what?
By the way, another great story with Oklahoma City, who everyone had written off for dead, and they were trying to get rid of Chris Paul because there's this bloated contract. And Oklahoma City's had a really nice year.
Yeah, they have. Didn't miss the Westbrook George combo.
No.
So those are the matchups as of now. So what some teams are pissed about is they're like, hey, we should have home court advantage.
Yeah.
And in Orlando, we won't have that. So you have to give us something for home court advantage. A little bit of a, you know, little something.
Tim Donaghy gets to ref the games, right? And then he's on the home court side.
Choose your own refs.
There you go. Something along those lines.
Well, here's what they're discussing. They have five ideas that have been discussed. Nothing set in stone. The higher seeds would get the ball at the beginning of the second, third, and fourth quarters.
Okay.
The higher seed would be allowed to choose one player who would be allowed 7 personal fouls instead of the 6. That's interesting.
I guess. But how many? I don't know. I
feel like that's not a benefit you would get from playing at home anyway.
No, but I just, like, how many times the star players really come down and foul out at the end of games? I mean, I guess you could give it to like an enforcer,
tell you or what,
you know, the guy in the middle.
If Ha Sung Jin were still in the league, that'd be a big rule.
He'll use those 7 fouls.
I feel like last year in the Blazers-Thunder series, there was constantly players fouling out near the end of that. whether it was Steven Adams or Nurk or Aminu or somebody fouled out when they were needed.
Higher seeds would be granted an extra coaches challenge. That seems pretty easy to do.
No.
Yeah, right. Why? Fine. Yeah, here
sure.
you go.
Yeah, I mean, okay, sure.
The next one is higher seeds getting preferential hotel selection at Disney.
You get the nicer suites.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess, right?
I don't know what it looks like there, but maybe are there bad ones there?
They're smaller rooms.
I know that I
did. Smaller, but bad.
I didn't. And now
it's all good.
The name of the hotel they're staying at, because there's a bunch of them.
Coronado Springs Resort.
Yeah.
I believe it's called.
And I did not. That's not where we stayed. We had ours was called. God, it wasn't that. But yeah, there were certainly nicer rooms that the better players got versus versus the ones that I was stuck
in. Yeah, it looks super nice.
Yeah.
On internet.
The area down there now, it's been. I was down there in what, 2003, 2004-ish, so I'm sure it's changed quite a bit, but yeah, it's a beautiful area. Golf course is great, lots of good places to eat. I mean, you're not going to be exactly roughing it there, although it will be weird to, you know, just kind of be, I mean, you're at a resort for possibly a couple months.
And wait till you hear the last one. Here's the last one.
Now, I would like to believe, can I throw my idea in before you get to the last one?
Yeah.
Home teams, all the ladies they want.
What do you mean?
Just bus them in.
They already do that.
Just bus them in. You know, because they're putting up the bubble and they're going to have a limitation on who's coming in and staff. Yeah. No, I say.
That's against COVID rules.
I say all the side pieces. The home team gets the side pieces. We put them up in a separate hotel and it's just whatever you want.
It's like in Rush Hour 2 when Chris Tucker goes into the massage parlor
exactly.
and they open the doors and he gets to pick.
Yes. Just.
Of the 50 women there, he picked like 5 of them.
All the side action you want, there you go. Bring it in. Now that's an advantage.
What if they give the home teams the option? Because, you know, they said there would be a few family members allowed.
Yeah.
What if the home teams vote against their family being there? They're like,
the wives don't get to come.
You get it so that my wife's not here?
Yeah, the wives and kids. Yeah. LeBron's in. Remember, he goes into playoff mode. That means no wives, no kids.
No social media too, right?
Yeah, he shuts it all down.
And then the last one is higher seeds would be allowed to transport their actual hardwood courts to Disney to recreate the feel of home court advantage.
What?
Yeah, that's what they're talking about. None of these are definitive, but they said those 5 have been discussed.
So the Lakers, they have the same floor? Like That's the dumbest one of all of those.
That is dumb.
That's ridiculous.
They have additionally had discussions about a plan that has had fan support for years, which is you let the higher seeded teams pick their first round opponents. Now that's interesting.
That would be fun to do, because like they've done that with like the Pro Bowl and like the NHL All-Star game where they do that, like you select teams. That's fun.
That was in the MLB's playoff proposal too. Remember that?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, you get to choose.
But it sounds like
that'd be such a great slight, and then one team.
Totally.
Wait till someone picks the Blazers and Lillard gets all butthurt. That'd be pissed off Lillard doing that. That would be phenomenal.
According to this report, though, all the NBA teams are a bunch of weenies.
No one wants.
And
to.
They don't want to offend anyone else. Stupids.
Well, that was kind of the same thing with like picking all-star teams, right? They didn't want it to be public because no one wanted to be known as the guy that was picked last.
Wouldn't naturally the teams that they pick generally be in the same seeds? Like the Lakers would pick the 8 seed, right?
In the West? Yeah. Let me go back and look.
Yeah, they'd
pick of course. They'd pick Memphis
for
sure.
You're not picking Dallas.
Right.
You're not picking any of those other teams.
No, you're picking the 8 seed.
But what if you're Denver? You don't want Houston.
I don't know.
Wouldn't you rather have Oklahoma City than Houston?
That's possible. You just go on down the line. I'm sure someone would break ranks.
Because the Clips wouldn't pick Dallas. So the Lakers would get the first pick. They would take Memphis.
Yeah,
the Clippers are the two. They would not pick Dallas.
No, they would take Houston or Oklahoma City over Dallas.
Yep.
Guaranteed.
And then Denver
would.
You
think
so? Yes.
Yes.
I don't think. I think Dallas is one of those teams. By the way, I don't think Houston scares a lot of the good teams with their little gimmicky ball. I just don't. I think there'd be a good chance that whether it was the Clippers or the Nuggets,
the Lakers just take Houston first.
The Lakers is like, give me that. But that may even happen. Like, I'm looking here. If you're Boston or if you're Toronto, I don't know if you're taking Philadelphia. I wouldn't want to play the Sixers in my first round matchup with the year they've had, but as talented as they are.
But your alternative there, if Brooklyn and Orlando are already picked, is Miami or Indiana.
Yeah.
That's not easy.
No, but I think I'd rather roll the dice there. Well, I guess you'd have to wait and see what happens with the eight games. A healthy Philadelphia team last year was a fluke shot away from winning an NBA championship. If that team can pull their head out and get it together, the Sixers are dangerous.
Yeah, the whole if they can pull their head out thing, that's never worked. They said that about Oklahoma City with Russell Westbrook and Paul George. They couldn't.
No.
Because there were issues. Houston has the same kind of issues.
Someone saying
it seems like
Denver's got a slight with the home court because of the altitude, right?
True.
Yeah. I mean, you don't have to go play in Denver.
So they should suck 25% of the air out of the Orlando arena when Denver plays.
Yes. Like, here's the thing. If you play the Nuggets, you
is
have
that how air works?
Yes.
Three of your players have to have a dart in their mouth the entire time while playing. You got to go Vlade. You got to be smoking a heater on the, not all five. And let's not be ridiculous. Three of the five. And you get to pick which, and you can rotate through, so no one guy isn't smoking the entire game, but three cigarettes lit on the court all times.
I love that. What about this idea? What if the road team or the lower seed had to have one guy on the court at all times without one shoe on?
Or what if he just plays in socks regardless?
Well, see, I think that's a disadvantage.
Too much.
You need one.
Yeah, to give you some form of traction.
One, yeah, but if you have one, how awkward would that be?
That's a pulled groin waiting to happen when the one sock slips out from under you.
If he's got his right sock on and no shoe, you're driving that way on him all the time. He ain't pushing off that. He's not sliding laterally.
So then if he sits down, then another guy that's on the court has to take one of their shoes off.
How about this, too?
Or to use an old example from this show, have one guy playing dress shoes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I just think that's too penal.
Get a nice Cole Haan pair of loafers out there, some saddle buckles. Well, we know the NBA loves the weed. How about this?
Ooh.
Mandatory team has to be stoned. And I mean not like a one-hit quitter. No. Just stoned to the bejesus. Well, again, let's go to...
J.R. Smith said he played game stoned, right?
Yeah, he did.
I was going to say, I don't think that's much different from any of these teams.
Oh, I think it is. Like I said, I'm not talking about just like we give the big fat Bob Marley joint and you got to finish that. And we watch you do it. It's like, all right, let's roll on out there.
I think that's too much of a disadvantage.
What if the road team had to wear face masks?
Now you can wear those weird, like, I think some of those things are improve your oxygen levels.
Oh.
I got those weird.
Home team wears face masks.
How about they wear blindfolds?
There you go.
Come on. That's ridiculous, Mike.
Okay, all right. Eye patch?
Mm.
Ooh.
Death perception?
I wonder how well they would shoot with an eye patch.
Tell me you don't want to see J.J. Redick running around out there with one eye? Sign me up.
What if you required three of your players on the floor at all times to be white?
Yes, yes, all the yeses. All the yeses.
I tried everything. We played four white guys and an Egyptian. We tried everything.
That would be called the BYU model, and it works so well for them.
Boy,
yes.
What a disadvantage.
Three white guys at all times.
Do all teams have three white guys?
Blazers certainly have their share.
I don't know if every team has three white guys, but you know what? You better sign someone
quick. What's Chandler Parsons doing?
And I'll tell you what. If you only have two white guys, then find yourself an Egyptian. I'm willing to go with that. I'm willing to go with two white guys and an Egyptian.
God,
but
the Blazers would have to play Hezonja, Nurkic, and Collins at all times.
Yes.
They don't have any other white guys.
Let's do this.
Am I missing somebody? Ariza and
No, I think that's it.
Swanee. Yeah, they'd have to play Hezonja the whole time. Come on. Not fair. He sucks.
This is fantastic.
Okay. I think we're done with that topic.
I liked it.
You guys done?
I think we had a lot of good ideas.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes, they should consult us.
That was another good one. Rock and Jock style, home team gets the 25-point hoop shot.
Yeah, like a half quarter?
Yeah, like I think the Rock and Jock, the 25-pointer was like three-quarters, half quarter.
Oh, the three-quarters quarter.
Yeah.
What about a 10-pointer?
Sure. That's from half court.
I'm down with that. Just anyway.
Well, there has.
I think that'd be awesome.
There has been talk about the NBA because of the way the game's evolving, adding a 4-point shot.
4-pointer?
Yeah.
Give Lillard 4 points for his bombs.
Yeah. With the way they shoot now?
That would be so cool.
Certainly. Well, I mean, the game has already evolved. Either you dunk it or you shoot the 30-footer anyway, so might as well give him a little extra attaboy.
All right. Are you ready to fly yet? That's next on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Yeah, we've got a texter here who makes a good point. You know, Dallas, if you did the white guy rule,
yeah,
Dallas with Porzingis and Doncic,
their two best players are white.
Yeah, he said you would need to specify that it has to be an American white guy. Now you're talking. That's a good point.
Yeah,
very good point.
But again, then
that leaves the Blazers with only Collins.
They'd have to sign Steve Blake.
I don't think.
And quite frankly, I am here for it.
I don't think
he would definitely
come
back for another go again.
Hell yeah!
I don't know how many NBA teams have three white American players.
Oh yeah. Do you think there's one?
I bet you there's one somewhere.
Are they bringing full rosters over?
Yeah.
To Orlando?
I think they're bringing. Why wouldn't they?
Well, because of COVID. I thought there was some talk that they were going to limit the number of players.
I don't think so. As far as I know, they're bringing. Now, all I can go off of what I read today, and I did not see anything about reduced rosters.
Okay.
But you can eat outside, you can golf, and you'll be tested every day. But I thought it was interesting that they're not going to shut it down if someone tests positive.
Yeah, you can't really.
No.
I mean,
it's just this point, you're all in.
Because somebody's going to probably test positive, don't you think?
One would think. I mean, we've seen a lot of the European leagues have had a couple players test positive. The UFC had someone test positive.
Did you see two Oklahoma State football players tested positive?
Yeah, they tested positive. I think, was it Marshall that had a couple that tested positive?
Oklahoma State plays Oregon State week one.
Yeah. Well, but I mean, those kids at Oklahoma State will be fine. They're just not going to be, you know, working out with the team over the next couple weeks.
They're asymptomatic, they said.
Yeah. So, it's probably, and Dana White said this when people were like, oh my God, you had a fighter and two of his trainers tested positive. And White was like, dude, we expected this. And if you're the NBA, you have to know going in that you are going to get some positive tests. I just think at this point you're going all in and you're not going to do the we're shutting it down. Now what'll be interesting is, and no one's rooting for this, but what happens if it's not one or two players? What happens if you get an outbreak on a team, right? Because one would think if one guy has and you're in such close quarters, what if you get a team with three or four, or what if you get five or six teams, you know, that end up with something like this? That'll be the one. That I don't know how the NBA handles that.
Don't know either.
But one player just sounds like that guy's going to go away for 2 weeks under quarantine, and they will continue to test. They said they're going to test players and staff every single day, and that all the workers at the resort where they're staying at, they won't be allowed in the players' rooms, which is interesting because I don't know how you're going to get those rooms clean. I guess maybe the players are just responsible for it. But they said that the staff is going to be under the same kind of protocol that the players are. So it will be a massive undertaking to have all of those people, you know, tested day in and day out.
I've been looking through the depth charts of all the NBA playoff teams.
Yeah.
And most of these teams don't even have two white guys, much less
two Americans.
American white guys. Mm. Although Olynyk and Leonard for Miami,
yeah,
you got two American white guys there.
Well, then I think that you need to start signing some people, right? Let's start scouring the D League, or let's go find some local rec teams. Let's make this happen.
What's Tyler Hansbrough doing?
Yeah.
What is he doing?
Good call.
Is he in Indiana?
Whatever he's doing, I bet it's gritty. Hansbrough's not still in the league, is he?
I guarantee he's out of the league.
Tyler Hansbrough.
Maybe I shouldn't guarantee that.
I bet he does insurance. Or did he make enough money to just sit on a beach?
That's a good... The insurance thing is kind of a go-to. I could see him being a broadcaster too somewhere.
The Plumlee brothers.
Yeah, he's 34. He's older than.
Oh, he's in China. China.
Oh, is he still playing over there?
He played in China.
Bringing the heat, I'll betch.
I'll betch too.
Yep, he's playing for the Blue Whales.
All right.
Well, by the way,
I bet you they love him over there.
Why do all the Chinese teams? Why are they like fourth grade soccer teams where there's a color behind it? He played
because they loved Legends of the Hidden Temple. That's why
he played for the Blue Whales and the Golden Bulls. Good reference, by the way. He also played for the Long Lions. And then don't forget
waiting for the Silver Snakes,
the Fort Wayne Mad Ants. Yeah, his career is
he's still playing.
It's taken a bit of a turn over the last handful of years.
NCAA champ Tyler Hansbrough.
Oh yeah, yeah.
They won.
Was that Illinois they beat? Was that like the D Brown? Was that that squad? Darren Williams, D Brown. Am I wrong in that?
I don't know.
I don't know. You don't know. I think it's Illinois. Yeah, I think you're right. Was that 05 or was that 09? Because they won it twice.
No,
it they've actually won three.
I think that was 09.
It would have been 09.
So they beat Michigan State that year.
Oh, okay. So 05 was the
Illinois game.
I remember North Carolina beating Illinois, but I don't remember what year it was.
Yeah, that was 05.
But you know what?
Roy Williams won three titles there.
The grit.
That son of a.
That Tyler Hansbrough showed. I mean, no one played harder than he did.
That's what the narrative was at the time.
He's such a putz.
Grayson Allen's in Utah, right?
Yeah.
He'd have to play all the time.
He'd be out there tripping.
You can trip some people.
He'd be out there tripping fools.
All right. Well, we got to nothing we wanted to there, but.
What's Larry Bird doing?
What were we going to get to?
Well, I was gonna ask you guys if you guys are trepidatious about hopping on a jet plane still. Or if you care.
On a jet plane. I had this discussion with the family members today, in fact.
Yeah, because I think
I've got flight coupons that got to get used.
Right. A lot of people do. And I think we're kind of coming out of this to the point where people are like, well, it's summer.
Yeah.
So people are kind of thinking, okay, well, if we push back the vacation to July.
There's a second wave. And
yeah, so, but we're going to have to get to that later, JC Babes.
Okay.
Because, and I do want to talk about that. I think because we had a death, there's a death in our family on my wife's side. Mm-hmm. One of the olds died, and she was thinking about going to Minnesota, Wisconsin for a funeral.
Yeah.
And so we got to talking last night about that, and wonder what everybody's take is on.
Yep. Just had that conversation today. That.
So we'll get to that later. Up next in the news, Oregon will not tell you about the COVID numbers, even though you want to know. Why won't they tell us? Next, here's Mike.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Okay, the Hot 5 at 5, top of the hour, sports news. We've been talking all day about what the NBA plans to do. It's quite confusing. It took us an hour and a half to get through it, and we still don't know really all the details. But the Blazers are going to have a shot at the playoffs. Now, on the baseball side, it's getting a little bit more complicated, and we'll get to that coming up. But right now, Jason, JC Babes.
Yep.
It's June 3, 2020. It is time for In the News. I am your noted newsman. Today is National Egg Day.
Oh, okay. I had eggs and spam today.
I had eggs as well. I didn't have spam. I had real bacon, like a adult.
Look at you one-upping me.
Spam with hot sauce. You like spam?
Yeah, spam's delicious.
It's good, yeah. Mm.
Do a little eggs, rice, spam. Oh,
why?
A little Hawaiian style. Come on, Rob.
Why are eggs so popular?
Because they're good.
Yeah,
they're cheap,
easy,
but they're healthy.
Convenient.
Cheap, healthy.
Go with a lot of things.
Yeah.
Can be made a lot of different ways.
Well, and let's be honest, Big Egg has made a push over the years to promote egg.
I think that's right.
You know, that egg council.
I mean, like,
there's a lot of commercials for that.
How did egg become such a...
It's a staple in everything.
How did it become so synonymous with breakfast? Like, can you really even eat a real breakfast if you don't have egg?
I think the fact that it has protein, good amount of it, which you need to help start your day, right?
Yeah.
It tastes good.
Yeah. Well, you threw me for a loop
but
on that.
Honestly,
because
I'm not sure.
We don't associate the egg with lunch and dinner the way that we do breakfast. In fact, really, the only time, unless you put like a fried egg on like a
on
burger.
On a sandwich or something.
Yeah, or something, but it's almost exclusive to breakfast. You just blew my mind with that.
Do you think...
Maybe it's a farmer. I don't know.
Like, do you think it's Big Egg?
Well, maybe Big Egg realizes that was their end. They realized that breakfast was lacking... Like a universal go-to lunch and dinner, they're like, no, we're going with egg, and maybe because
it's marketing.
Breakfast is more like you cook breakfast more than you go out for breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas lunch and dinner, you're more out and about. Whereas you know breakfast for the most part, you're making it at home.
Somebody came up with the idea in a marketing meeting, Mad Men style, that cracking an egg open into a pan with the sun rising and a glass of orange juice and some coffee was correct. And they probably started putting that in advertisements because honestly, all I remember my entire life is when you see anything that has to do with eggs, it's always breakfast. Always.
Mm-hmm.
Every commercial, you always see the sun.
Mm-hmm,
it's always like that.
Yeah. Hmm. We tackle the tough topics here.
What we do, Big Egg.
Okay, we'll start with protests from last night. Now, there were some arrests during Portland protests last night. There's some discrepancy over the barricade issue and... There's the video of the cop driving through the barricade. And, also, Mike forwarded on this thread from some of the bros that were out there.
They were trying to put together a timeline of exactly what happened, because the night before everything went so well and they didn't have a curfew and we were all praising it. And then
I tell you what,
unfortunately, last night it, you know,
their thread sounds awful biased.
Well, of course it is. If you listen to the police side of things, obviously across the country, it sounds biased. And so I think you just, anytime you're hearing, you know, this debate of, you know, are the police the ones that are the aggressors and abusing their authority, or the protesters out there looting and pillaging? I think you just got to try to take a little from A, a little from B, and try to find, some
the most correct answer.
The truth is probably going to lie somewhere in the middle of that.
Did you see Caesar, the No-Drama
Llama? Yeah, the No-Drama Llama was out there.
He was protesting.
Because who can't get behind Caesar, right?
Yeah. He was out there.
But here's my point about this. Most of the protesters across the country are doing this in a nonviolent, respectful way. And I think most of the police officers are handling this in a professional and respectful way. And I think there's obviously some protesters that are, whether they're actual protesters or people that are just using it to antagonize and inflame the situation, or bored white teenagers that are just looking to get, you know, a free surfboard or a Louis Vuitton bag from somewhere, that are out there. And I think there's some cops that we've proven that on film are not handling this well. They're in a tough spot and they are cracking in front of cameras and are completely abusing their authority.
Well, some of the radio things we've heard are
awful. There was one out of the New York Police Department where some protesters were blocking the street and they're like, hey, we can't get through. And one of the cops literally goes, run him over. And another one goes, shoot him. And the chief or whatever is like, guys, don't say that on the air. I mean, so these things are coming out. There's
the video in Seattle of him saying, don't kill them, but hit them really,
really
hard.
Hit them real hard. I mean, there are clear instances here of police abusing authority and actually committing crimes, and there are clear instances of protesters who aren't really protesting anything. They're just out there for anarchy.
Now, that video, I think it was Philadelphia, where the cop had the baton in his hand. He put it on the ground, forced the guy he was arresting to put his hand on the baton, and then used that as a reason to beat the living hell out of him because he was holding a baton that he forced into his hand.
And these jackasses that are hijacking the protests and burning buildings for no reason, and they're just inflaming it, those people should be arrested and charged. And the police officers that are doing this stuff, that are clearly, it's not called for, and they're abusing authority and assaulting people, those people should be fired. And by the way, kudos. Atlanta fired the two police officers that tased the two kids and drug them out of the car. I've seen a couple officers that have been charged. There are police departments that are holding people accountable for their actions. And I just hope that both sides don't lose sight of the fact that the vast majority of protesters and the vast majority of officers are handling this in a respectful, professional way. And you're seeing a lot of cool stories about, you know, cops kneeling with protesters and talking it out and having it be a respectful, peaceful protest. And I hope that we don't lose sight of that.
All of the Minneapolis police officers charged in connection with the death of George Floyd have been now taken into custody.
Yeah, all four have been charged.
And they have been charged with increased crime. So now, was it Derek? What's his last name? Chauvin?
Chauvin.
He's the main guy. He is now getting hit with second degree murder. It was originally third degree murder,
but and
manslaughter.
Yeah, I think it was the coroner or the whatever investigator, the medical examiner came out and said that yes, the kneeling on the neck was a direct cause of George Floyd's death, and I think that's why they bumped the charge.
Well, they had
up.
an independent.
Because the original one said it was not that.
Right.
The original one said there was other contributing factors, and that may be the case, but the independent one said that no, that was a direct cause of it, and so they bumped it up to two. And then the other three officers are being charged with a lesser account, I think aiding and abetting of murder, I think is what it was.
Yep, they have all three are charged with aiding and abetting second-degree murder and aiding and abetting second-degree manslaughter.
Yeah.
No curfew tonight in Portland.
That surprises after, because last night, you know, it
got a little wild.
Got squirrely.
Yeah, got loose, you know. Unfortunately, we had a night where seemingly everything went well, and then last night we were back to the, you know, the chaos.
Yeah. But old Teddy ball game there, the mayor's office said, no. Looking pretty good.
Well, let's fingers crossed again that, you know, peace on both sides holds out.
Okay, let's get a COVID update in next. Oregon is being very secretive about its numbers.
They
won't say why.
I feel like this is across the board. That it scares me that we're getting an uptick and everyone's just like, let's just not talk about it and hope that no one notices.
We'll get to that next. 4:45 on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
P1 Scott is in. And he says, I like the simple delineation between protester and looter. If you are protesting, you're a protester. If you're looting, you're a looter. Looters aren't protesting. Protesters aren't looting.
Yeah. And again, I get that there are a lot of people right now that are angry at police officers, and you have every right to be. And the system needs to change. But I was talking with a...
Well, you do have every right to be, but they're not all like...
No, they're not all like
this
that.
Guy.
Again, just like I said, you need to be careful saying that, you know, hey, I saw someone smashing a window and then steal a bunch of purses, and, you know, that person's scum, and then you rope everyone into it. There are obviously bad apples out there in the police department, and we're seeing that play out every night on TV. Even when you know you're being filmed, they still can't help themselves. There's people that shouldn't have that badge. But to sit there and say that every cop is a racist and every cop is out doing this is ridiculous. Again, some of the best men I know are police officers, and it's a really hard job, and they take it seriously, and they're there for the right reasons. So you got to be careful making sweeping generalizations, whether you're talking about the protesters versus the looters, and in some cases, flat out criminals that are police officers and guys that are doing damn good jobs, and a really tough one at that.
The Oregon Health Authority on Wednesday refused to release key statistics used to help justify and monitor Oregon counties allowed to reopen during the coronavirus pandemic.
Hey, you don't need to know what's happening.
Okay, there's a lot here. The Oregonian / Oregon Live.
Yeah.
Isn't it just Oregon Live at this point?
Yeah. Is there a physical copy of the paper?
Yeah. Oh, well, of course.
Really?
Yes.
Like, what?
Yes, it's a paper.
I have not seen.
They still deliver it.
Well, there's plenty of newspapers that are just online now.
Oh, I know. And Oregon Live isn't one of them.
I've never seen one. Or I haven't seen one in years.
I thought their website was going to go behind a paywall, but it hasn't.
I thought so, too, but maybe because of this whole thing.
Yeah.
You know.
They filed two public records requests last month seeking underlying data used by public health officials in Governor Kate Brown's office to allow phase reopenings by counties. State officials cited broad discretionary powers given to them by the legislature in choosing not to release the figures. So the Oregon Health Authority has frequently cited the law, ORS 433-008.
Oh, yes.
You're familiar.
I was thinking that exact same thing.
Not to be confused with 433-007.
Dumbasses. No one reads 007. It's all about 008.
For refusing to disclose information related to the pandemic, the law essentially exempts information collected by the agency during public health investigations from public disclosure requirements, giving state or county health officials sole authority to determine what data to release and when. Okay, so I was wondering if maybe this was like a federal thing where, like, you know how POTUS kind of strong arms people, you know,
sure.
He likes to do that.
Yeah.
There was talk when he would get on with the governors that if you didn't stroke him, you know, he hated you and would. So
he would basically.
So you have to play the game of.
Yeah, he would basically say, if you're not nice to me, I'm not going to be nice to
right.
you. And it's one of those things. The governors knew not to. Well, it was implied that you better be nice or you're not going to get the federal funding and supplies.
So any governor that hated him or whatever has a beef with him would still have to play the game, right?
Yeah.
So I thought maybe this was just states playing the game. And the feds don't want the info out there, so the states are doing them a solid, maybe, right? Like, that was my first thought.
Sure.
But it sounds like they're doing this because there are a lot of states that are not releasing numbers.
No. Well, and
but it sounds like Oregon's doing this based off of state law.
Well, and there's a lot of people that are pointing to the fact, like, with Florida, right? Florida last year had, like, or the last 5 years, they averaged, like, 800 to 900 pneumonia deaths during this, you know, over the course of the year. And right now, Florida already has, like, I want to say it's like 4,000 deaths from pneumonia that aren't being considered COVID. They're just pneumonia. And obviously, people are kind of looking at that being like, are you really kind of fudging some numbers? And then Florida had the lady that said she got fired because she wouldn't lie about the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a lot of distrust
right
now.
And like, it goes further in this article. It says the Oregon Health Authority has also blocked the public from listening to daily conference calls between state administrators and lawmakers.
Yeah.
So you can't You can't do that. They've refused to release details about outbreaks at long-term care facilities or workplaces or the age ranges for some people infected. It's just weird. Like, why? What is... Why?
It sure seems like...
Why?
Well, there's two levels of thinking here that I've heard being bantered about. One is that they realized that this was overblown and it wasn't as bad, and now they're just trying to kind of quietly let it slide away and make... Hey, no one forget about the $4 trillion that we spent in the months inside and just kind of, you know.
Okay.
And then the other side of that is they realize how bad this is going to get and the numbers are increasing. And with everything going on and the civil unrest and we've got the country burning, and that they don't want this to just be one more thing added upon it. And we don't want to go down the road of, do we need to shut down again? So I've heard both sides kind of throwing out their own theory of this is bad or this isn't as bad as they made it out.
Well, they
up to you to decide.
Okay. They have built an online dashboard that shows weekly percentage increases or decreases in cases by county. They do offer that. So I don't know. Well, nobody knows. The whole phase thing continues.
Sure.
Nobody knows what that's based off of. But I guess if it keeps going, that's good.
Yeah, they said that Clark County is applied to be in phase two, but there's no time.
Which is similar to phase one for us, right?
Yes, but there's no timeline for when they'll tell us whether or not we're in phase two. So no one knows. It's all very confusing. All I can think of is imagine with everything going on right now, if there is an uptick in this, like a bad one. Right. And we get some serious spikes and people are dying. And by the way, people are still dying, which no one seems to care about anymore. Can you imagine with everything going on, if they tried to tell us a month from now after we've opened this thing back up that we have to go back and you got to start shutting things down again and you got to go back inside? I'm terrified of what the response would be from the general public.
All right. That's your in the news, I think. Right. Is that it?
I think that's it.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I was going to tell you that 31 Oregon counties are now eligible to apply for phase two.
Okay.
So we're up to 31 of the 36 counties.
And yet Multnomah is still trying to get to phase one, which they should be applying for later this week. And hopefully by next week, that goes into effect.
That would that's be Friday, June 12th. Next week would be the open date.
Yeah.
All right. That is definitely in the news for June 3rd, 2020. The Hot 5 at 5 is next. What the NBA is planning. On the Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.